Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. We thank you for being with us for our Ideas Matter segment, checking in with the public humanities, where we like to see what the humanities councils throughout our seven-state area are up to. This morning, we spotlight New York Council for the Humanities, and we speak with Susan. Is it Aberth or... is that correct, Susan?
Yes, it is.
Excellent.
Aberth, you got it perfect.
Susan Aberth is chair of the Art and History Program at Bard College and associate professor of Latin American art. And we focus this morning on art history of a unique Mexican holiday that combines All Souls Day with pre-conquest Indian rituals of death. Susan, first of all, welcome. Thank you very much for being with us. And tell us a little bit about this holiday, what it is, and how it came to be.
Well, you were correct in stating that it's a very unique blending of the iconography and practices of the indigenous peoples of Mesoamerica with the Catholic beliefs of the Spanish conqueror. So to the Aztec peoples, who were dominant at the time of the conquest, for example, the image of the skull and the skeleton were reflective of their sacrifice and piety. Now, to the Spanish, these same images were connected to the Catholic notion of memento mori, or the transitory nature of life. So using skull imagery to meditate on the brevity of life promoted greater piety, because if death could take you at any time, you had to be right with God perpetually, or there might be unpleasant consequences. So for both cultures, the imagery was really similar, although the meaning was different.
So the holiday would fall tomorrow, November 1st. What is it called in the Mexican tradition?
It's definitely Días de los Muertos, and underneath all of the skeleton imagery, it's primarily the erection of a home altar called an ofrenda, and usually put up by the women of the family with photographs and offerings. And then it is followed by an intimate family meal. In fact, you could look at it as a kind of family reunion between the world of the living and the spirit world.
You're a scholar of Latin American art and art history, as I mentioned. So detail, if you can, and talk a little bit about what is distinct about the art of this and how you spoke a little bit about the skulls and the imagery, but really how it's connected to the meaning of the art and what kind of art we're talking about.
Well, everywhere in Mexico you will see images of skeletons that are very amusing. They're toys for children. There is a lot of candy. Lovers and family members exchange sugar skulls with their names written on them.
Ooh, sugar skulls.
Yes. And one of the most distinctive parts of the holiday is going to the cemetery and decorating the graves with usually marigold petals, and then placing on the actual graves candles, burning incense, and putting other types of offerings, and then the whole family, in fact, a whole village, will spend the entire night in the cemetery.
I know you speak a lot about this in public lectures and mm-hmm. through the New York State Humanities. What do you think are some common misperceptions about the holiday, and ultimately, and its relationship to Halloween, what we celebrate today?
Well, I think the first common misperception is that it's a holiday celebrating death, and it's actually the exact opposite. It celebrates life, and it deals, I think, in a very positive manner with facing death, laughing at death. It helps children to cope with the death of family members, and in that way, I think it's very healing. It's not morbid. It's not fearful. the way often Halloween is. Although, in an increasingly secular world, even Halloween becomes less scary.
Is that happening in Mexico? Not so much that it's becoming less scary, but that there is a more of a commercialization of the holiday?
Well, I'm sure everybody has a different opinion, but I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say no. I think Mexicans, you know, morph and change with the times, but that the holiday is essentially the same.
And I know you talk about this, and I do find it fascinating when we look at this holiday. How do you think that it has influenced Latin American art, not only today, but in the past, and what influence it has had overall on the culture and on the art?
Well, I think it has primarily influenced Mexican art of the 20th century. And it began with, at the turn of the 19th, 20th century, with the famous Mexican printmaker, José Guadalupe Posada. And he created these cheap little newspapers that were sold on the street, sometimes at the gates of the cemetery. They were very inexpensive, and they displayed really funny, amusing scenes of skeletons called calaveras, riding bikes, getting drunk, getting into fights at bars, singing and dancing. And they were combined with poems that often contained political satire. Now, after the Mexican Revolution ended around 1920, artists like Diego Rivera celebrated the indigenous folk practices of Mexico, and he included many scenes of both urban and rural Day of the Dead celebrations in his murals. And also Frida Kahlo often dealt with death imagery in her paintings. Since that time, there have been countless Mexican modern and contemporary artists that have incorporated this imagery, usually as a reference to national pride.
You make this a part of your class, as I mentioned, associate professor of Latin American art. You teach courses on various aspects of Latin American visual production, including a course titled Religious Art of Latin America. And in that class, you teach Day of the Dead.
In fact, yesterday we put up a very large ofrenda in the classroom, and students brought in photographs that were decorated of deceased family members.
An ofrenda being an altar?
Yes, an ofrenda is an altar dedicated to the dead, put up again in the home at this time of year. And we decorated it with the sugar skulls that we all made by hand, and cakes in the form of skulls and other types of artwork. They loved it.
I bet they did. You're also interested in the art of the occult, and at this time of year, we're talking a lot about Halloween today, of course. Is there an insight that you can give us into how we visually represent Halloween, of how we came to the way that we look at this holiday and this time?
Well, Halloween is, of course, a Celtic survival, and throughout Great Britain, celebrations also involve the harvest, the ending of autumn, the beginning of winter. And one wore frightening costumes so that you would be safe and indistinguishable from spirits and frightening supernatural forces that were unleashed upon the earth at this time. Now, in the United States, now we've had some interesting visual turns. There's an increased emphasis, I think, on sexuality, and people often wear revealing costumes they would never consider wearing at any other time of year. And I think this makes sense because death has always been connected to sex and the renewal of life. What I'm really interested in is the popular trend in the United States, in particular with zombies and other manifestations of the undead, that I think reflect the notion, the discomfort with death and dying in this country. Also, I just want to say there's a lot of pagan communities. Paganism is very, very quickly growing, and they are connecting with the old celebrations from this time of year.
But zombies are in now, right?
I think so. My students love zombies.
And with Walking Dead and Max Brooks and the like, there is a lot of there's a lot added to that zombie culture.
Indeed, indeed. You know, I think our society is increasingly secular, and we're going to have to find some way to reconcile ourselves to death. And in the absence of a belief in the afterlife, it's going to be a challenging project, I think.
Susan Naberth is chair of the Art History Program at Bard College and Associate Professor of Latin American Art. Susan, thank you so much for joining us this morning and explaining your work. It's fascinating stuff. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.